you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letter u.org. I'm Jono. Joining me from Ireland is Jason of spiritualbabies.net. G'day, mate.
Good morning. It's a stormy day in Ireland today. I think we had the most rain we've had all year last night.
Yeah, really. You know, I heard in Sydney, the weatherman said this morning that it was raining so much, even the ducks had umbrellas. It's nice you're getting some rain. I wish we could get some rain, anyhow. And a special shout out to Yosef Abraham. G'day, Yosef. And he's done?
Yeah, he's built a place on Facebook for people to go and talk about the programs we make here on Truth To You.
It's a group. It's a Facebook group. It's called Truth To You Study Group. And he's done that himself. He's created it himself. And it's building quite a lot of people in there. So if anyone wants to get involved there, just type in, I guess, Truth To You Study Group. It'll come up and get on board. So Yosef is in... he lives in Belgium, Antwerp, Belgium, and he's from Spain. Wow, I didn't know he's from Spain. He's from Spain. He's in Belgium. So g'day to you, Yosef, and thanks for throwing that together, the Truth To You Facebook group. Yeah, Truth To You Study Group.
Yeah, and if you want to discuss the programs on Truth To You with people, and maybe with us, then get in there and post your questions, and you never know, we might even tackle a few of them.
You never know. Hey, Belgium, what do they speak in Belgium?
Oh, geez.
Do they really?
No. They speak a mixture of French and Flemish, depending on where you are.
French and Flemish.
Right.
There's a language called Flemish?
Yeah, it's the language of Flemland.
Okay. All right. G'day to everyone who speaks Flemish. And gracias to my Spanish friend, Yosef. There we go, done.
Awesome. Flemland. You know what? I don't know why it is Flemish, but it just is. Belgium split. Belgium split, like most places, into rich and poor. And the rich people traditionally spoke French and they owned the land. And the poor people traditionally spoke Flemish, which is kind of maybe a little bit Dutch. And that is the people that work the land. And so there's a really clear division as well in the kind of the... Oh. If you go to a French town, it'll be lots of money and cobblestone streets and big churches. And the kind of Dutch areas, the Flemish areas, not so much. The centre of Brussels is quite nice. And there are areas of Belgium. There's a French town called Namur, which is a really big... it's a big town, but it's famous for being kind of a military point. It commands a corner on a really kind of important river, and it's got this big citadel on top. Mm-hmm. There are some really nice places there. I lived there for a couple of years, but it is a bit beige, Belgium. It's a bit rainy grey.
Yeah. No, we can't talk weather. We're in the midst of another speed study. What are we talking about today?
Well, I think this is probably going to be a part one, but we're going through the Psalms and we're looking at the instances where the word hate comes up.
We're inciting hatred today.
Right, we are.
We're looking at the Psalms of hate. How's that? Is that all right?
Yeah. I think we could probably mix that into a heavy metal track.
The Psalms of hatred. Inciting hatred from
but
the
specifically,
Psalms.
We're looking at what the psalmist and what God hates. So this is kind of okay hatred.
Yeah. Well, this is permission to hate, boys and girls. Get into it. Mm. This is okay. Look, there's plenty of other places in the Psalms that that talk about people who hate. They hate God, or they hate Israel, or you know, manner of things they hate. And there's about maybe 40 occurrences of the word in English.
Yeah, I think that's fair in the Psalms. And normally at this point we do a little rundown. So the Hebrew for the word hate is sane or sone, depending on how you want to say it. And it's Strong's word 8130, and it occurs about 147 times in the whole of the Tanakh as enmity, hate, hatred, intense hatred. Turning against someone, even unloved, comes up seven times as unloved.
Wow. There you go. All right. Well, so here we go. We're kicking off. And so these are things that the psalmist hates or that God himself hates. And it begins in Psalm chapter 5, verses 4 to 6. Have you got it there?
I have, yep. Hear my voice, Hear my voice, O Lord, at daybreak. At daybreak I plead before you and wait, for you are not a God who desires wickedness. Evil cannot abide with you. Wanton men cannot endure in your sight. You detest all evildoers.
You detest. Mm. Wow. So I've got in the New King James, I've got that open. It says, Yehovah abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful men.
Cool. It's very medieval, isn't it?
Yeah, detests and abhors. Do you know what's interesting? You know, I did a little bit of further study on these passages that we're going through. One of the things I found interesting is the verses or references that Christian translations, that is to say, Christian cross-reference Bibles, connect. Now, in this case, and this is the NIV that does this, the NIV connects that passage that we just read to John chapter 8, verse 44. I'm going to read that.
Uh-huh.
First, I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to read it. I'm not that prepared. And it says, so the NIV connects it with John 8, 44, which says, you, this is Jesus speaking, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Wow.
Wow. So what is effectively happening here is that where it says in verse 6, you shall destroy those who speak falsehood.
Mm.
Yehovah abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful men. The NIV then connects that with the Jews.
Which is kind of odd, because in the Jewish Study Bible, it makes a reference for verse 6 that this may be expressed in the idea that sins weren't welcome at the temple in Jerusalem. Am I reading it right? I am reading it right. Yeah, I am. These verses express the idea that sinners were not welcome at the Jerusalem temple. See also Psalm 15. The evildoers, Pelei Evin, are often mentioned in Psalms and always in the plural, and may represent a particular group of maleficent individuals. So if this is talking, as the New Testament suggests, that all Jews are sinners, and this passage here is telling us that that means no Jews can go to the temple? I mean, that's just nuts. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's pretty bizarre. Do you know what's even weirder? In John chapter 8, let's not spend too much time in John chapter 8, but John chapter 8 is, it says in verse 30, as he spoke these words, as Yeshua spoke these words, many believed him. And the next verse says, and Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, he said, you know, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they go on to say, We are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that we will be made free? Now, keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking to the Jews who believed him.
Right.
And that slowly descends into some sort of, I don't know, but it descends in from a friendly chat into a, you are the father, you are the children of your father, the devil. He's a murderer, and he lies because you are liars. And then... it's pretty tragic. And then the NIV takes that and goes, connects it to Psalm 5:6. You shall destroy all those who speak falsehood, i.e. the Jews, destroy them, because God hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful Jews. Anyway, thank you very much, NIV. The next one is Psalm chapter 20. Now, I've skipped one. I'm going to save one to the end. Psalm chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, it says, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
I do not consort with scoundrels or mix with hypocrites.
Scoundrels.
I detest the company of evil men. I do not
detest.
Detest. And I do not consort with the wicked.
Hmm. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6.
Oh, I have to find a one with Matthew in it.
Okay, sorry, I'll do it then. I've got it here. Matthew chapter 6, thank you. NIV connects Matthew chapter 6 to, connects Psalm 26 verses 4 and 5 to Matthew chapter 6 verse 2, which says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Well, who are the hypocrites in the synagogues?
I'm kind of blown away by that, because if you look at the context of the verse that this is supposed to be linked to, this guy's asking to be vindicated because he hasn't made any mistakes and he loves the temple, the dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anything in here about... it says, I haven't mixed with hypocrites. Surely if the synagogues and the temple were fully of hypocrites, that would be a lie.
No, we see what what happens in Psalm chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, is that it references the word hypocrites, and then it goes on to reference assembly. It says, I will not go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers. Mm. Then, thank you very much, NIV, Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. It talks about the hypocrites in the synagogues. There's...
Some more Jewish people getting slandered there.
Yep, getting slandered. Thank you very much, NIV, for your anti-Semitic cross-referencing. Now, the next one I've got, Psalm 31, verse 6. What does it say?
Into your hand I entrust my spirit, you redeem me, O Lord, faithful God. I detest those who reply on empty folly, but I trust in the Lord. That's a good one.
I've got, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in Yehovah.
Right, yeah. So mine says, I detest those who rely on empty folly. Now, that's interesting. I wonder what it says. Is it folly or is it idols?
I don't know. I guess idolatry is folly.
Oh, I have hated those who regard vanities.
Lies. Vanities?
Vanities. Or so folly is... I've got folly, which I think is close. Doesn't say idols.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Useless idols, vanity, follies.
I take that back. They've translated the English as vanities, but when I click on the word, hable, it's translated as idols in the New American. See, and that turns up in Jonah 2. So that word comes up twice in Psalm 31:6 and Jonah 2:8. The American Standard translates that word as idols. The King James, vanities two times. The International, idols again.
Interesting.
So you have to take that where you can see it. And if I look at the root word, that turns up 73 times. Idols.
Vain. Idols, okay. Vain. All right. Well, points to the New King James Version then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in Yehovah. Mm-hmm. Psalm 45, verses 6 to 7 says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. We did a program that included this verse.
We did.
What was that called?
It must have been, was it part of the Hebrew roots thing?
I can't remember, but I tell you know what, it probably was, because I know that this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I'm pretty sure.
You know what, I think it was, and I think it's right at the beginning when he talks about
I'll tell you what, let's find it. We'll find the link and we'll put it here. Bing!
Yep, awesome.
Okay, Psalm 97, verse 10, what does it say?
Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He guards the lives of his loyal ones, saving them from the hand of the wicked. Some great verse.
Not bad. Now, it's the ESV, the English Standard Version, that connects in the cross-referencing that passage with Acts chapter 12, verse 11, which says, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews.
Mm.
So we go back to 97:10. You who love Yehovah hate evil.
Mm-hmm.
He preserves the souls of his saints, like Peter, and delivers them out of the hand of the wicked, like the Jews. Thanks very much, ESV. Psalm 101, verse 3. Now, this is where you want, you know, when you just want to sort of get the intro understanding, like Psalm in a nutshell, you go to Psalm 101, right?
Hmm. Of David, a psalm.
No, you didn't get that. No. That I made a joke and you didn't get it. You just did the polite hmm and moved on.
You're absolutely right. That's totally what I did.
Because That's Psalm 101.
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
this is the intro course.
That's an awesome joke. You should consider stand-up.
You need to pay attention and laugh when I'm funny.
You have to tell me when you're going to be funny. Right.
I have to tell you when I'm going to be funny, then I might as well give up. Come on. Psalm 101.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, now.
Verse 3.
I will not set before my eyes anything base. I hate crooked dealing. I will have none of it. Oh, I might as well carry on. Perverse thoughts. It says perverse. You have to read the word perverse.
Oh, you got perverse?
I've got perverse. Hey,
before you go on to the perverse, you've got crooked dealing. Mm. I've got, in the New King James, I've got, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away.
Those who fall away, wow.
Yeah, it shall not cling to me, it goes on to say. What does yours continue in verse 4?
It says, perverse thoughts will be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. And then it goes on to slander and stuff, which is kind of interesting because that turns up in some of the ones we're going to look at in part 2.
It is true. Psalm 119. Now, there's a few in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is usually the verse, a go-to verse when you really want to defend the Torah. Oh, my goodness, it's so great. But here we are with quite a few references to hate in Psalm 119. It begins in 104. What does it say?
I ponder your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. Yeah.
I've got through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way.
That's fair. I think, yeah, it's close enough, yeah.
That'll do. In Psalm 119, verse 113, it says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your Torah. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law.
I wonder what the double-minded means. I mean, are we talking about somebody who can't make their mind up, or are we talking about somebody that says one thing and does another?
I'm going to go with the latter. Mm. I'm going to say that someone who says one thing and does something else, or someone who does one thing depending on, you know, who they're with, and does another thing because they're with different people.
Not a few of those. Okay.
Yeah, not for them.
And 128. Here we go. Truly, by all precepts, I walk straight. I hate every false way. There's an overriding message there, I think, in all these ones we're picking.
Yep, absolutely. Psalm 119, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your Torah.
Brilliant. I think we're done with 119.
That's 119. 139. I'm going to read verses 19 to 22. Or do you want to read this? Verses 19 to 22 of 139.
Oh God, if you would only slay the wicked, you murderers stay away from me, who invoke you for intrigue, your enemies who swore by you falsely. Oh Lord, you know I hate those who hate you and loathe your adversaries. I feel a perfect hatred towards them. I count them my enemies.
How's that? But you can't, wait a minute, you can't read, I hate them with a perfect hatred. You've got to go, I hate them with a perfect hatred.
All right, I'll do it in character, that's fine.
Yeah. You've got to get into character. But how about that? Verse 22, I hate them with a perfect hatred. And do I not hate them, O Yehovah, who hate you?
Mm.
How's that?
So another thing here, it might kind of flare up a few people because there's this overriding theme that you have to love your enemy, right? Love your neighbor, love your enemy, love everybody. You can't, hate isn't something that you're supposed to harbor in your heart. But here we've got something.
The enemies of Yehovah, it certainly seems that you are allowed to hate them. Do I not hate them, O Yehovah, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Awesome.
I'm reminded that when Israel lived in the desert and the love thy neighbor commandment was given, they was talking about their neighbors, the people that were in the tents next to them.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly true. Yeah. Whereas in the tradition that you and I were brought up in, we were taught to be the doormat of the world.
Oh, yeah. You turn your other cheek, you pay your taxes, and you keep quiet.
Yep. Psalm 11. Now, I know we're going back to the beginning of the psalm, Psalm chapter 11, and I want to read the whole chapter because this is the one that's going to put the icing on the cake. In Yehovah, I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as the bird to the mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yehovah is in his holy temple. Yehovah's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Yehovah tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. I'm going to read that again. But the wicked and the one who loves Hamas, his soul hates.
Mm.
Can you help me out there?
Hamas is violence. It's the word in Aramaic and Hebrew for violence. By the time you'd got through from 1 to 3, I thought, doesn't that sound exactly like what's going on in Israel?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it what? Mm. Let me look at it again. So, you know, how can you say to myself, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string. I mean, as you and I are talking now, since the last ceasefire, Hamas have fired, I'm guessing almost up to 1,000. By the time this is published, it wouldn't surprise me if they've shot another 1,000 rockets over into Israel. That they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, they say, if we destroy the foundations, what can the righteous do? But Yehovah is in his holy temple. Yehovah's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Yehovah tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves Hamas, his soul hates. And it goes on to say this, which I love. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of that cup. For Yehovah is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Psalm chapter 11.
Awesome.
There it is. Hate in the Psalms. Psalms of hatred. Have we incited hatred, do you reckon?
I hope so. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Righteous hatred is a perfectly acceptable thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, as believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hate what God hates and love what God loves. And that doesn't mean we have to go around and start tearing down altars. Oh, if we lived in that kind of world. Wow. But we can't, because we don't live in that land. We have to follow the laws of the land. But we can despise what God despises and use that hatred to guide our choices in what we do and we don't do, and what we support and what we don't support. Just like in Psalm 11 here.
So true. So there it is, dear listeners. Hate in the Psalms of hatred. And thank you, Jason of spiritualbabies.net, for coming back on to Truth to You for a quick speed study on hate, my friend.
My pleasure.
Looking forward to speaking with you again, perhaps on a nicer, lighter topic. I don't know. We'll see what happens next time we do a speed study. But until then, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom. What do you reckon of those cross references?
It's insane. You know what, people, the problem is, and because I seem to be spending more and more time in the Christian forums and in kind of Jehovah's Witnesses and that stuff, they don't have any other, they've come from a place where they're not attached to anything, and then they have this understanding in the New Testament, and that's completely new and fresh to them. That's the coat of paint that they've put inside the room that they're now going to live in, and they don't have any concept of Jewish people. For them, follow Judaism. It's a completely different thing. It's not attached to them at all. And so there's kind of a step procedure. And so they'll look at the text and they'll go, oh, there it says that Jews are evil. That's interesting. That's probably why they don't believe in Jesus. And that's it. It's done. Instant spiritual genocide. And that's okay, because that's what it says in this book. It's odd and sad.